Hoping I'm not the only one who knows who that fictitious family is. I am getting to be part of the older crowd in this congregation, but... So, admittedly, and I don't know if my wife would admit to it, but I'm going to dime her out anyway. Admittedly, me and my wife are both vacation junkies. We love most of these movies. I think the purest, obviously, is Vacation, the original, and Christmas Vacation. Those are our two favorites. 1983. So you guys can do the math. I would have been 19 years old when this movie came out, I think. So kind of hit home, that whole National Lampoon, which is a magazine, kind of like the whole Mad Magazine thing from the 1970 up until late 90s, it actually lasted. And I will bring this around, not just talking about the vacation movies. But so, yeah, we probably, the Christmas Vacation movie, I'm going to say at least 5-6 times, maybe. It's just like, if we happen to have the time, maybe more. It's pretty bad. But I've got moose mugs at home for those. And some of you people might have blank stares right now. I apologize if you've never watched the movies. If you have not watched the movies, and they do make a PG-13 version, if you want to bring the kids on board, it's I don't know. Anyway, but so yeah, I've got the moose mugs at home, and I got the T-shirts. I got the whole nine yards. But my one friend could quote, and I could too, probably. There's some really good one-liners throughout the movie as well. But yeah, Chevy Chase, Beverly D'Angelo, the kids, depending on the movie, actually changed a couple times, but Chevy and Beverly were there. But Chevy had this knack for just basically putting himself out there. He was the ultimate family man. He wanted the family to be together. Pretty noble in and of itself, but if you watch the movies, you'll find out it didn't always play out very well. In the original Vacation movie, they lived in Chicago, and we're going to take the, you can see it in the background there, the family truckster from Chicago to Wally World, a fictitious Wally World in Southern California. The true Wally World was in Ohio, actually, a park in Ohio. And I think they only had like 10 days, something like that, 10 days. So he was on a very strict time regimen as well. So you got two teenage kids in a car on their way to somewhere they probably really don't want to go. And along the way, you'd think, okay, well, this is stressful enough. They'd want to stop somewhere, and Dad, Clark Griswold, would say, no, we don't have time. It's not on the schedule. We're falling behind. And, of course, as you can imagine, things happened the whole way. They lost their money, this, that. Car breaks down, go off the road, they get lost. And where I'm going with this ultimately is today, and I think I've talked about this before, but it's one of the things I struggle with, is patience. So Clark, and I don't know why I just thought of it this morning, but one of the sayings, and I think this might have been my mom, pack your patience. That's old school. Don't forget to pack your patience. Well, Clark needed to pack his patience because he was asking for trouble. I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's just, yeah. I mean, we've tried it. My daughter, we always kid about it. We always told Kendall, you know, like, you're going to go with us, and you're going to have fun whether you like it or not. I don't know if any of you younger people in the congregation remember your parents. Maybe. But yes, forced family fun, and that was what the Griswolds were all about. Vacation, the Christmas Vacation movie, Clark insisted on having the whole extended family over to the house. So, decent-sized house, but I don't know about you guys. I love my family dearly. But, yeah, it was like we're talking all the way leading up. We're not just talking overnight. We're talking, what was it, 10 days or something like that? My goodness. Talk about patience. And, of course, ultimately, Clark lost his patience a few times as, again, that's where you need the PG-13 version, because when he would go into his tirades, yeah, needless to say. And Clark referenced, you know, his dad, and he asked his dad at one scene in the movie how he did it, and his dad famously said, I had a lot of help from Jack Daniels. Now, I don't recommend that as a way to keep your patience. I recommend, as we will get into the scripture, there are other ways to do that. And ultimately, at the end of the movie, you got that warm feel good. And believe it or not, I will admit that during the Christmas Vacation movie, there's actually one scene where I get emotional because of that family time. And that was what Clark, even though it never worked out quite like he wanted to, in the end, it was a rocky road to get there, but in the end, there was that moment where it was like Clark would say, you know what, it was all worth it. Wish I would have been a little bit more patient getting there, but it was all worth it. Again, because you imagine, I love my family dearly, but 10 days leading up to the holidays, all crammed in different rooms and this and that, and I know some of you out there have dealt with that, you know, extended family, staying in your homes, that type of thing. You're all on a different page. Patience can be in short supply when it comes to things like that, the family, the children. You have to pack your patience. But he did. He did at times, and Clark did regret some of those things that he said and did throughout the course of that movie and his family. And I think one of the reasons I like the Vacation movie so much is because we can relate a lot of times to those movies. In our lives, our personal lives, where we get off track. We start out the day, the week, the month with the best of intentions, but we get sidetracked because we lose our patience. This is very timely for me, and one of the reasons I like to talk about this subject all the time is because last night I did not practice what I'm preaching. My wife will attest to that. I have said my sorries and all that already, so we'll move on from that subject. So the main scripture today, Ecclesiastes 7, 8, and 9. Sometimes, you know, when you're in the card store, well, at least me, when I'm looking for that special card, special occasion, a birthday, a wedding, Christmas, for that special person, you just know when, you know, you're going through the cards, and you come to that one card, and you just go, that's it. You stand there and you go, wow. Maybe you even get a little emotional. So when I saw this scripture, sometimes I'm looking, I'm trying to come up with a scripture that ties into the subject matter that I want to talk about. I came across this scripture, and it just really spoke to me. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. Patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of the fools. Man, I really feel that one from last night. That just... You know, how things end up ultimately is the important part, not how they start out. Because sometimes things start out and you start going down a certain road because of bad things and for the wrong reasons. And ultimately, that beginning may be setting you on the wrong path, but the end is what's important there. And if you practice patience on the way to that ending, hopefully that ending will be ultimately something that is pleasing to God. But while you're on that road, anger, being provoked by something that bothers you, can very easily sidetrack you. If you do not have enough patience, that's where you become the fool. And again, if that patience is not with you, you may not get to the ending that you want to get to. You may not get to the ending that you should get to. And unfortunately, that will affect people in your lives, your family, members of your congregation, members of your church as well. So I wanted to look at a few pieces of scripture that talked about patience. I kind of got sidetracked when I was doing a little bit of research this week and looking at Deuteronomy and Numbers. I was looking at the 40 years in the wilderness, and because I thought, well, what a great example of patience, or lack thereof. Myself, anyone could spend weeks, months talking about that story alone. There are so many little bits and pieces involved when it comes to that. It's not one of the scriptures I had originally chosen. I tried to get that to Andrew earlier in the week, get it off my plate, and then I kind of work around that. So I didn't include that scripture, But again, if you want to look, you know, one of the scriptures that really stuck out was Numbers 14, 1 and 2. Numbers 14, 1 and 2 referenced the part where basically they had left Egypt and they were at a point, a breaking point, and they said, we might as well go back to Egypt. That's just one of those little side stories. But think about that. They've been led out of slavery. They're being promised the Holy Land, the promised land, milk and honey. And they literally got to the point where they're done. They have no patience whatsoever. I might as well just go back to Egypt to slavery. Think about that. But that whole story, that journey, that 40 years to the end result, there were so many side stories that Moses and Aaron and it just... And I kind of questioned, was this a test ultimately? And those are deeper into Scripture than I am. I'm kind of like the fringe guy. I'll look at certain Scriptures and I won't take that deep dive. But I think about, was it ultimately a test of God, you know, that he was putting... And he did. Ultimately, it weeded out people that weren't worthy, the sinners. And ultimately, they didn't make it to the end, to the promised land. 2 Peter 3, 14 and 15. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, in regard to patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. I broke these down, and this one, 2 Peter, spoke to the patience of God. I actually looked at how many times patience was referred to in the Bible, but this one spoke to God's patience, and thank goodness for us. Yes, there were times and there were periods where God lost his patience, so to speak. Let me rescind that. God didn't lose his patience. He just said, you know what? I've given you enough opportunities. This isn't working. Let's get back on track. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But this speaks to God's patience specifically. And thank goodness for us. You know, he could have just said, hey, you know what? Let's just end this experiment, so to speak, and not told Noah to build a boat. You know, could have went a whole different direction, but our Father did have patience when he needed to have patience and when it was right to have patience in his plan. 1 Timothy 1:15-16. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. This one really hit home because we see a lot of scripture and references to Jesus and his acts of patience with dealing with sinners. And you can really wrap yourself around it because if you insert yourself into there when it talks about being the worst of sinners, when we think about, and I won't speak for anyone else, when I think about myself, some of the sin in my life, it puts Christ in that, in this scripture, it speaks to how Christ really just put himself in front of that worst sin. The scum of the earth, the bottom of the pile, the bad as it could get. And the reason for that was so that Christ could show us how patient he was in dealing with people. James 5:7-9. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be dodged. The judge is standing at the door. I'm going to speak a little bit to this again later, but when you think about it, we're all at different places in our lives, younger, older. But ultimately, life is a marathon, not a sprint, hopefully, in most cases. And when we think about patience, we think about all the things that we're going to run into over many years of our lives. So you've come to that point now where you've received Christ in your life. Everything should be easy from here on out, right? Doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Maybe for some people it does. It doesn't for me, though. But that patience, because of the fact that it is a marathon, to get to that final reward, to get to that end game, that end result, you're going to need a lot of patience because there are going to be a lot of people that are going to tick you off. They're going to get under your skin. Some I know people in my life that I'm pretty sure it's their goal to make me mad. They go out of their way, I think. I don't know if they actually do, but I think sometimes they might. There are people like that in this world. Whether or not those are the people in my life and I'm referring to, I don't know. But we've probably all come across or spoken with somebody else that has told us about somebody in their lives that fits that description, that goes out of their way to test your patience. I often wondered about that. I remember my hearing, you know, that phrase again. It's like all those old phrases, you know. Well, how do you test someone's patience? Well, there are people out there that do a very good job of it. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, ultimately, we do find those, or I do, we find a law where you get a little sluggish. As I thought that word really was fitting, which is why I really like this scripture. Sometimes we get a little sluggish in our faith. And ultimately, if we don't remain diligent, as it tells us that if we don't, we may not make it. We may not inherit the promises of eternal life is my assumption, my interpretation. So again, if we get a little sluggish and we're not as diligent as we should be, we may forfeit that promise. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This scripture kind of wraps it all up. When I was thinking about the subject of patience, it specifically talked about some other things: humility, gentleness, kindness, compassion. As many times as referenced in Scripture, in the Bible, love. That one thing that brings it all together. And I truly think that even though I feel that patience is one of the most difficult things and one of the most important things when you're a Christian, this made me feel a lot better, because a couple of things I think it brought to my attention was that you got some other things that are going to help bring all that together. You got to lean on all these other strengths, all these other emotions in your life to help with the patience. Humility, compassion, kindness, gentleness, those will all help you to be a more patient person, I think. Love, obviously, that's why it's the big one. It's why the one that always talked about bringing everything together. And ultimately, I think a couple times in this scripture it referenced the fact that we need other people around us to help us with our patience. That's That's why one of the reasons we come here. We come here to worship God, but we come here to worship God together. Because sometimes we need help in our lives. We need that extra oomph, that little extra push in the back, little extra guidance, whatever you want to refer to it as. That sometimes it's nice to hang out, you know, with people that you know you can just say, yeah, you know what, I just had a bad week, I messed up, I'm not on track, whatever the case may be. It is a long journey. As a Christian, as I've said before, the reward for your patience, hopefully, again, you know, I think I'd like to use the word euphoric. I think it'll be euphoric. I think it's something that ultimately, if you're where you need to be, you're looking forward to it. But I'm looking forward to it sooner, not sooner than later. You know, I'd like it to be later. I'm in no hurry to get there. So that being said, it's probably a long road. But being it's a long road, it would be a shame that if you lost that patience and you lost that guidance that it's going to take to get there. Because at the end of the day, being a Christian, that reward is hopefully a long way off. So it's going to take a lot of patience to get there. You bow with me, please. Father, thank you for the time this morning we were able to spend together. I hope that some of the things I might have said this morning and shared this morning are helpful in somebody's lives and helpful in my life as well, Father. I thank you for allowing me to look into some of your scripture and hopefully interpret it in a way that's pleasing to you and, again, is helpful to us in our walk this week as we go out into our community and hopefully share your word and at least share in a positive image of what a Christian should be and that we are patient with those around us, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have any needs of the church, if you haven't been baptized in the name of Christ and you feel so inclined, as we stand and sing, please come forward.